This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust the program will bless you and encourage you, and if you're not saved, that it will speak to you and draw you to the Lord. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. This program can be re-listened to on my website, and again, if you would like to leave comments or criticisms, or if you have questions, you may contact me either by regular mail or through my website. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue looking at these miracles that the Lord did in the New Testament. We're going to look at the 18th miracle where Jesus heals an invalid at Bethesda. Now, the reason we're looking at these miracles is because we believe strongly that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And in order to have confidence in the Word of God, we need to have confidence in the Lord Jesus who gave us the Word of God. And so these miracles are designed not only to prove that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah who was prophesied to come, the anointed one that was to come from the Old Testament prophecies, but he's our Savior. And so we want to give people a reason to believe in this person who is the way, the truth, and the life. We find out that no man comes to the Father except through him. Now, when we look at the miracles, of course, in one sense, they are simply events that took place that are recorded in the Gospels. On the other hand, they are pictures of the way God saves, allegories we sometimes say. It's a story that represents a spiritual truth. And so while the Lord told parables, which were stories that represented spiritual truth, these miracles are also events. I wouldn't say stories, but they are events that represent spiritual truth. And so while there were physical healings, physical casting out of demons, while there was the calming of storms on the Lake of Galilee. Well, all those things did happen. In each case, when we look at it, we find out in a spiritual way, God is dealing with us in much the same way. Our relationship, our problems, our sins are spiritual. Our need for deliverance is spiritual, but these events that we're looking at do give us insight into how the Lord does, in fact, draw us to himself and save us. Now, today we want to look at the 18th miracle where Jesus heals an invalid at Bethesda, that is, in one of the areas of the temple. And I'm going to read from John chapter 5 and verse 1. And it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another man steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of this portion. Now you'll notice that in the previous chapter he was going through Samaria and saw Samaritans saved without the benefit of miracles. They believed his word. John 4:42 says, Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And I just want to pause here to say that in my experience, that's the way people are saved today. They don't see signs. They don't see miracles. They don't necessarily see a clap of thunder or a trumpet speaking to them. But what they see is truth from the Word of God that they can depend upon. And that's what I'm trying to help you understand. I often go back to basic, simple promises of Scripture. And I want you to understand that as you depend on the Scripture, as you depend on what the Lord says, that's when we trust Him. We trust people when we trust what they say, and we trust what they say because we have confidence in them. Now, I'm trying, as we go through these miracles, as we've gone through the Old Testament prophecies related to the Lord's first coming, I've tried to give you reason to believe that the Lord is who He claimed to be and that you can depend upon Him. And that's what the Samaritans did. They didn't have all the blessings and all of the commentaries and all of the preachers and all the helps that we have today, but they had heard the Lord. And they said, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. When I hear people tell me how they came to know the Lord, I hear them tell me a lot of things. But what I'm listening for is when they got assurance from the Word of God that Christ had died for them. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear them say that their parents told them they were saved. I don't want to hear them tell me that somebody that maybe was a religious mentor told them that they were saved. I want to hear them say that God himself, through his word, has convinced them that Christ died and was buried and was raised again the third day for them. And when they are convinced of that, I believe that's when they'll know that they are truly saved. And so we don't necessarily see miracles today, although, as I've said before, there are many miracles all around us, but they're usual miracles. We don't see the unusual miracle where the Lord breaks through what we're used to and, say, raises somebody from the dead, or casts a demon out of a person who seems to have a mental illness, or who cures a cancer immediately, or who stops an issue of blood immediately. We don't normally see that. And with the Samaritan lady, all he did was tell her that she had five husbands and that the one she was now living with was not her husband. She believed that he knew all about her and then began to ask him about whether she should worship as the Samaritans worshipped or whether she should worship as the Jews worshipped. And he basically told her, don't worship either way. Worship me. Worship in spirit and in truth. And because of her testimony, others were saved, but they just believed the word. And so after he had worked with them in Samaria, the place where the Jews thought everyone was unclean, then he went to Galilee and he healed a nobleman's son. Now he goes back to Jerusalem and heals a man with an infirmity. And this teaches us something again about the way the Lord saves spiritually. Notice, only one could be healed in that when that pool apparently was moved by the angel. Only one could be healed. But when it comes to salvation, this is in contrast to the salvation that God offers. God has the The water is moving all the time in a spiritual sense. He's always available. He's convincing men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And salvation is not a competition. When one gets saved, it doesn't exclude another from being saved. Salvation is for all. I don't fully understand the nature of the healing that took place in that pool. I take it was a very real thing. But at the same time, when we see an angel come down and stir the waters, it may be that in a sense, when you hear the word of God and are convicted of your sin and of your need of a Savior, that that's when he's stirring the water in our lives. Notice the man wanted to be healed. The Lord doesn't save people unless they want to be saved. And so the Lord had asked him whether he wanted to be healed, and of course he said he did. And you'll notice that likely we know that men couldn't help him. People were waiting for a miracle when the Lord was there and available, but instead of that, they were looking to man for help. And for this man could not help him, but the Lord could. And so the Lord had healed this man from a problem that apparently had occurred because of sin in his life. He told him to go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon him. And so sometimes our need is based on things that we have done and we know we have done, and sometimes our need is simply based on the fact that we're born sinners and we know that in our hearts, no matter how good we try to be, there's a dark side to our thinking and our hearts. So sometimes the healing is necessary because of specific sin, and all of us need to be healed because of the nature of sin. Now, when we look at the Pharisees, it's astounding that they saw a miracle, but it was done on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest. It was a day when the Jews were supposed to dedicate themselves to the Lord. And they had rules about the Sabbath, and the Lord wasn't keeping their rules. The Lord was keeping the Sabbath in the sense that he had intended it to be kept. But it wasn't being kept the way the Pharisees thought it should be kept. But in fact, it wasn't really that he did this on the Sabbath. It was the fact that he could do it at all, and they couldn't. And it was for envy later on that they delivered him. And so it's interesting that instead of religious people being happy because this man was healed, they were unhappy and they tried to destroy the one who had the power to heal. I find that remarkable, and I said last time that religion, that is, a religion that tries to control people rather than bringing them to the Lord for salvation so that the Holy Spirit can control them, a religion like that is a very dangerous thing. It's a very wicked thing. And so the Jews had their religion, but they didn't have Christ. And I hope you have Christ and that you aren't just depending upon a system of good works or religion where you're controlling others and hoping that God will accept you for all the good that you think you are doing. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by trusting in this one who was able to heal this man, even though it was on the Sabbath day. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and bless all who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.